Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. Let me ask you this question, and now don't freak out on me. I can almost guarantee that each and every person listening to us today has thought about this scenario at some point in their life. If you could meet God face to face, and he was going to allow you to ask him one question about anything, what would you ask him? Think about that for a minute. That's why my guest today, our good friend Ken Rupert, wrote his book, God, I Was Wondering. To write this book, Ken had atheists, agnostics, theists, they all contributed to the book by submitting questions that they would like to ask God if they had the opportunity. Each question is answered and probes the depths of God's Word. Although it's not a doctrinal book, it is written from a Christian perspective. The goal of the book is to initiate a conversation that first must accept the existence of God and then offers a perspective that looks at personal experiences from a different angle. If you've ever wondered how God might address your question, this book offers you the chance to consider how he might respond. Regardless of your system of belief, you will gain new insight into how the events of your life can be viewed and how that new perspective can enrich your life. You need to get a copy of this book, God, I Was Wondering, by clicking the link in the show notes down below. But for now, help me welcome back to the program, Ken Rupert. Ken, thanks for coming back on the program to discuss this book. I just know this is going to be a great interview as we discuss this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This book took me to places I didn't even know I had to go. But it was a very interesting study and a very interesting project to complete.
Amen. Amen. Now, for as usual, for those who may have missed our prior interviews, tell us, who is Ken Rupert?
Well, I often start off by saying I'm just the average person that's trying to manage life. And I'm the parent of a special needs child, which has taken me down a road that I certainly never anticipated. And going down that road has given me a different perspective on a lot of the struggles that we have in life in general. And as an author, I tend to go to three different areas. I love to write about finance and investing. I love to write about self-development, how we can develop our ways and setting goals and stuff like that. And then there's this Christian aspect that I really enjoy writing about, because I think it's important that we approach it from a realistic point of view. There's definitely, doctrine is important, and I definitely follow and believe in a certain way. But I think it's important that we address life kind of where, we meet people where they are, right, and try to encourage them from there. So that's who I am. I'm just an encourager. I'm a nurturer. I'm somebody who likes to mentor people. And, hopefully through this program and through this book, we can touch some people's lives that are maybe struggling a little bit.
Amen. Amen. Now, first, I have to ask, what sparked you to write this book? I mean, I know we all have had those thoughts at one time or another, but what made you decide to write this book in this format?
You know, it's kind of interesting. Having a special needs son has caused me to learn how to become a servant. He cannot do a lot of stuff for himself. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I have to set aside a lot of my time to help him do the things that need to be done. And having that experience led me to write a book called Empathy. Mm-hmm. And really, empathy, I was trying to figure out, how do we model God? How do we, really image Christ in our lives? And the birth of my son in the last 18 years has taught me that, when Christ came to give his life, he came as a servant to us, to bring us back into relationship with God. The way he did that was, he left his position in glory. He entered into the world of his creation and and the pain that was in that world, and he provided a path of restoration. So that was kind of the genesis of the book Empathy. But after I got finished writing Empathy, I was trying to have a conversation with God, and I was just asking him, well, now that I've done that, what else do you want me to write? You know, where can I go? I don't really have any ideas, and I don't really know what direction you want me to go. And it just seemed like the Holy Spirit put upon my heart, well, he kind of asked me the question, well, what are you doing right now? And I said, well, I'm asking for direction. And he said, correct, you're asking questions. You're asking a question of God. So why don't, you know, you write a book that takes people's questions and tries to give them some direction from a Christian perspective of how to maybe anticipate or interpret the things that are going on in their lives. And then I was like, well, how am I going to do that? And I just so happened to have joined the website Help a Reporter Out, where you can go and you can put a query out there. So I queried out, I put a query out, and I asked for agnostics and atheists to just assume that God exists. If he does exist and you were to meet him face to face, what one question would you ask him? And I actually got back like 45 replies.
Wow.
And so I took those. I'm sorry.
Yeah, were they all, I mean, some of them had to be like the same questions, though.
Yeah, and some of them in the book, you'll find a couple questions that are paired together because they had basically the same theme. Some of those questions were those typical questions that people ask to try to, you know, the gotcha questions.
All right.
And at first, my wife and I, we went through all the questions and we classified them as to whether it's, you know, basic doctrine, whether it's more complicated doctrine, or whether it's really something that is heavily doctrine. And she said, you know, just answer the ones that are heavily doctrine. And I said, nah, you know what? I think I'm going to answer them all, and I'm going to break it down into to three parts. But I'm going to look for the question that is behind the question.
Right.
So they may have asked a superfluous question that doesn't, you know, they're just trying to get you. But there's some reason, there's something that drove that question. Some doubt, some, you know, fallacious belief, something drove that question. So I just asked the Holy Spirit to start revealing to me what was the question behind the question, and that's kind of where I took the book.
That's cool. Yeah. Now, so the book Empathy, was that the basic foundation for this book?
It's not the foundation for this book. It was what propelled me. Learning how to become a servant was a humongous change in my life. You know, I've always been a kind of aggressive go-getter. I'm going to attack this problem. I'm going to take care of things. But empathy, I wrote empathy because I was facing a problem that I could not solve.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And from that perspective, as you were writing this book, I mean, gathering the questions from different people, different perspectives, different backgrounds, different beliefs, what surprised you the most out of this experience? What were the, like, the different viewpoints that people were actually bringing to the table?
You know, this is the most surprising discovery coming from this book, was that agnostics and atheists, people who can, you know, the atheist says that there is no God, so their belief is that there is absolutely no God and they can prove it. The agnostic is not sure, thinks there's a higher power, but not really sure what that higher power is. What I realized is atheists and agnostics ask the exact same questions that Christians ask.
Really?
Yes, that was the big surprising thing. You know, a Christian will suffer a traumatic event, and they'll question God as to why God allowed that to happen. And agnostics ask almost the exact same questions. And those who do not believe in God, the atheists, if they were given the chance, they almost ask the same questions. The questions about suffering in our world. How can a loving God allow suffering? Well, I hate to say it, but I can remember asking that question when my son was born. How can a loving God let this happen? Because he was born with major disabilities. And he took us down a road that we were totally not prepared for.
So
we ask the same questions. The difference is the Christian has a foundation. The agnostic and the atheist do not have a foundation, so they're trying to do it from a humanistic point of view.
Right. Go over a few questions in the book for us. Like, what were some of the more common ones that you received? And then give us the scriptural answers for the questions as well.
Wow, I just should just start reading the book to you, shouldn't I?
I said just, you know, some of the you know, like the highlights, you know, the like you said you had, you know, 45 responses, and some of the questions were the same. So just give us two or three examples.
Yeah, so there's this one area where I titled it Appointed Unto Man Wants to Die. And there were actually three questions that came in, and these are the questions. The first one is, why do good people die and bad people live, especially when it comes to children and babies? And the second question is, why do good people get killed in by terminal diseases, but you never hear of pedophiles and rapists and murderers dying? And the third question is, why do you allow evil things to happen, especially to children? So you can kind of get the theme there.
Right.
And if you read those questions and really look into them, each one of them has somewhat of a false belief, because certainly bad people do die and good people do live.
Right.
So the first question, you know, why do good people die and bad people live? Well, it also happens the other way, right? Why do good people get killed by terminal diseases, but you never hear pedophiles or rapists or murderers dying? Well, there again, the false belief is that the bad people don't suffer these things.
Right,
and
right.
The fact of the matter is they do, right?
Yep.
So when we started, when I started to look into this, we have to realize that it's appointed unto man to die once. Now, there's no guarantee that of any kind of longevity.
That's true.
It could be short time. It could be a long time.
Yeah.
It could be that you get taken out by a car accident, of natural causes, of some disease, of the act of evil.
Yeah.
All of these things happen. This is kind of the reality of our world.
Yeah, when I was in the military, and even as a cop, you know, my wife sometimes worry about what's going to happen and things like that. I tell her, look, you know, when my time is up, I could take a bullet on the battlefield or have a heart attack sitting in a rocking chair. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah. So one of the things I brought out in this particular chapter is that good and evil are not exclusive to young and old respectively, nor is it exclusively assigned to life or death respectively. Good and evil exist, and life and death exist. Do some die younger than others? Yes. Do some die at the hands of others unjustly? Yes. Do some die through no fault of their own? Yes. Do some die in spite of the good deeds they were able to produce? Yes. The fact of the matter is that we all are appointed to die once. And so, you know, it's good to have that perspective, to realize that your life is a very precious gift. And at some point, it's going to come to an end. And so my hope is that I encourage people to learn to do good, to learn service, you know, to learn how to use the gifts physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually that God has given them to mentor, encourage, nurture, and strengthen others.
Amen. Amen. What's another question that was common, like a common theme?
A common theme was the concept of time. One person, time. Like, what did God do with all the time before the earth was created? Because there's an argument about this concept of time, that the earth is only 7,000 years old, or the earth is tens of millions of years old, or even billions of years old. And so this rationale, or this trying to rationalize this concept of time and God, is very difficult. So where I was kind of led with that was, you know, God created time for man to measure.
Right.
God exists outside of time.
Yep.
And he created the world from a perspective that is old earth. What I mean by that is Adam and Eve were not created as infants. They were created full grown, with teeth, with, you know, desire or needs, you know, for food and stuff like that. They were totally created from an, I don't know how to say this, but basically from an old perspective. They didn't.
They were mature.
Yeah, a more mature. Yeah. Exactly. And there's indication that the earth was created the same way, that there is signs of aging, even though aging didn't take place. And so that's a concept that is very, very common that people want to know, well, you know, how do we rationalize this tens of billions of years old or 7,000 years? And so I talk about God actually existing outside of time, and time was created. The day and the night was created for man to measure that, and that's right in the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was at a minister's conference once, and they did this illustration. I've never actually done the illustration while I was preaching or teaching, but I've explained it. And they had a rope that went, you know how you're looking in an auditorium, and then there'll be exits on left and right, you know, up at the, not on the stage, it's down on the down on the floor level, but there'll be exits up to the left and right of you. And they had a rope running from one exit, we couldn't see the end of it, all the way across the stage, up the stairs, across the stage, down the stairs, and back out the other exit. And the pastor said, "This symbolizes all of eternity." And then he held up the rope, and he had about a 6-inch piece of tape wrapped around the middle of the rope. He goes, "This represents time. And somewhere on here, there's a little piece of thread that represents your life. You know, and when your life, that width of that thread that's laying on this piece of tape, is over, that does not affect all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It only affects your little thread contained in that little space called time, you know." And I was like, wow, that's really, you know, you don't see the ends anywhere. You know, it just keeps on running. It could go all the way around the block, as far as you know, because you can only see what is in front of you right now, you know. And I just love that illustration. I've used that as an illustration several times that, you know, eternity is where God lives. He came down into time and created that for us, and then Jesus came down into time to become one of us, you know. I mean, that's exactly it. Yeah. What's another question?
Okay, so there was a couple that followed the same theme. It says, "If we were made in your image, why did you make us so ignorant in regards to how to get along with each other?" And the second question that kind of followed that theme is, "Why did you make it so hard for men and women to get along?" The interesting direction that I found myself going with this is trying to understand the incommutable attributes of God and the commutable attributes of God. And I go through and I list them out and say that being created in God's image and likeness, he created us by giving us communicable attributes of goodness, of justice, knowledge, love, rationale, mercy, speech, truthfulness, and wisdom. And there's other ones that he's not going to give up, like omniscience and self-sufficiency and self-existence and sovereignty and holiness. These are the things that are exclusive to him. Understanding what it means to image Christ means that you take those communicable attributes and you live them out. Even Christ was restricted being fully man and fully God. Yep. Even he was restricted to limited. He was limited within the experience of man. And I think that was a pretty prevalent theme, you know, in those two questions is, why'd you make it so hard for us to get along? Well, you know, sin entered the world, and I hate to, it seems so trite to always fall back on, well, you know, we live in a fallen world. And that's just the reality.
Yeah.
The thing is that we still possess those attributes. So it becomes a choice. If I have the power to love, but I choose not to love,
that's a choice.
Then that's my choice.
Yeah.
If I have the power to have mercy, and I choose not to show mercy, it's my choice. And one of the fundamental things God created in the very beginning was that concept of choice. And so I think that we kind of forget that we do have a choice to get along. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy because, yes, we tend to have that sin nature, as we call sin is, you know, this concept of self-indulgence. And therefore, most of the things that an average human will do is they're going to be somewhat self-preservation, self-indulgent. They're going to want good things for themselves. And sometimes it comes at the expense of others. But if you truly live out the mercy and the love and those different types of attributes, what you'll find is that it all comes down to that choice. Do I choose to act in a certain way towards others that reflects that image that I've been created in? And when we do respond to each other with those attributes, we'll find that we actually do get along. We're the ones that put up the walls of separation. If you look at the world today, there are more groups separating themselves. We talk about desegregation, and yet we're the biggest, we segregate ourselves every day. We intentionally decide to drive wedges in between people. And you can see it from the politicians all the way on down to those people out on the street, you know?
Yep.
We choose to do this. It's not that we are forced to. We choose to.
Did you get a question or did you answer a question in your book, something along the lines of how can a loving God send anybody to hell?
You know, I actually don't believe that question came up in this book.
Really? Okay.
However, I've started work on God I Was Wondering Too, spelled T-O-O, because there are so many more questions that kept coming in.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole other list of questions that I've been going through trying to write that book. And that book is proving to be more challenging than this first one was.
Is that right? Well, let's talk about the first one for a couple more minutes. What was the biggest aha moment for you as you were gathering the questions and doing the research to write the book?
Oh, wow. That's a phenomenal question because there were so many of them. I think just there was a point where I talked about the Trinity and the connection between it and I could flip to it. I wish I would have had that question prior to you asking because I would have already had that marked. I'm going to sit here and stumble. You actually got me on that one. Oh, here it is. The triunity of the Trinity. And the questions were, can you give me a few more specifics on the relationship between you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit? Which was a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other one was, were you alone when you created the heavens and the earth?
Okay.
And so, you know, I actually went through, talked about in Genesis, where it talks about the three being present during creation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to a point, and if I'm flipping through here, I'm pretty sure I got to a point where I actually talk about those three individual elements and how they intertwine and interconnect, and how they're individually God, but they're collectively God.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Did you receive, or are you, we're going to talk about your next book, Volume 2 here. Did you, or maybe it's in this book, any question about why did God create man to begin with?
Yeah, you got it. There actually is one.
Is there? Okay.
Yes, there actually is one of those that, let me see if I can find it again. Now, there was a really good question about why God, what does he think about organized religion, which was a fascinating deep dive.
Yeah.
In that one.
Okay, cool. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question for you, or you know, maybe for your next book, they want to ask God a question. How can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, you know, the best way to do it is just to go to the website and fill out the contact form. The website's address is financialblackbelt.us. And it seems kind of weird that somebody who's talking about financial black belt would be writing a book about God. But as I said, I go into several different, you know, I separate into finance books, self-help books, and then books about God and Christianity. And so they could go out on the website and fill out the contact form. And that would be the quickest way to get a hold of me.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with Ken Rupert on God, I Was Wondering, the interview about his book that he wrote about questions for God that people have asked. And I'm finding it fascinating. I know I've asked some of these questions at some point in my life. I'm sure you have as well. So you need to come back tomorrow because we didn't give him a chance to finish the answer to the question, but why did God create man to begin with? And he was just getting ready to answer that question. So you'll need to come back tomorrow to get the rest of the answer. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.